C1AP, number 1B.
So this number 7 we have in Revelation with the following characteristics. It speaks about 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 candlesticks, 7 lamps, 7 stars, 7 seals, 7 horns, 7 eyes, 7 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 thunders, 7 heads, 7 plagues, 7 mountains, 7 kings, and 7 vials. We can easily see this 7, which is the value of perfection, of completion, of fulfillment, is a great idea that runs right through Revelation. Then another number is predominant, and that's the number 12. 12 has been in the Old and New Testament always a symbol for demonstration for Christianity. So Jacob had 12 sons. There were 12 minor prophets, 4 major prophets. There were 12 apostles. And then one apostle fell out. They had to find a new one to replace it, so that there were always 12. It is a symbol for what? 12 is a symbol for 3 times 4. So fundamental to the 12 is again the 4, but that 4 is shown as the demonstration of that 4, namely the demonstration of the 4 through life, truth, and love. Or, put it in another way, we can also say those 4 are demonstrated up to the point of Word, Christ, and Christianity, because that's demonstration. The moment it would be demonstrated up to the foresight, the science, it would not be demonstration, it would be science itself. So whenever that 12 appears, it has a connotation of Christianity. Therefore, we always see that in Revelation, when they were speaking about people, those people that were saved, they were usually 12 times 12, to say a lot of them. So that's another symbol. The moment a number was taken and shown in a multiplied way, either by adding a note or 2 notes, or by multiplying that symbol, 12 by 12, 144, and still say a lot of it, and a lot of it, and a lot of it, then they were talking about 144,000. So the multiplication of it was usually a sign that it was a demonstration in the universal sense, or in a great collective sense, and not in an individual sense. So all those multiplies then indicate a Christianity sense, which is demonstration. And also, to bring it out here, those numbers have a positive value and have a negative value. So the 7 could be used positively, or it also could be used negatively. Well, these are a few indications to understand then the symbolism in Revelation. And now we go to a further aspect of Revelation, namely that we ask ourselves, what is the place value of the book of Revelation within the whole development of the spiritual idea in the Judean Christian history? We have as our basis, we have the Bible. The Bible tells us of a long history, starting out with that mythical figure of an Adam. It is traced back symbolically to the year 4000 BC. In ordinary history, history books tell us also, most of them tell us, that the history of civilization of mankind started round about the year 4000, as well in Egypt as in the Euphrates Valley, be it Babylon. Actually, at that time, there were the Assyrians there. Well, anyway, in a general way, the civilized history seems to have started round about 4000 BC. And the Bible tries now to take that whole history of mankind and take it and adapt it to the Judean Christian history, so that they were writing the Bible, especially the Old Testament of the Bible, in such a way that the four great periods of 1,000 years were covering the Old Testament up to Jesus. Out of that came the belief, or I don't know if first the belief was there and then they built the history around about it, but it was a belief in the Jewish Talmud that actually it takes about 1,000 years to fulfill one day of the days of creation. One day of God would be like 1,000 years. And so I guess they wrote the history backward in the way of bringing updates and updating it, so that we have a long development taking place in the Old Testament. Then came Jesus and introduced the 5,000-year period and demonstrated life in its fullest sense. That was his great mission, to show life, that life is eternal, deathless. And so introducing us then afterwards the 6,000- and 7,000-year period. So we can ask ourselves where within the range of this 7,000-year period of Jewish Christian history Revelation appears. What place value has Revelation? What is the meaning, the mission of Revelation within that great development? And this will be one of the most interesting things to watch as we go on, to see that it was one of the main points of John the Revelator to bring out really that point where we leave the 5,000-year period behind us, and there we open up heaven to the 6,000 and then to the 7,000-year period. So that in a way we can see that Revelation is another step in the line of spiritual creation. But we also see that what happened as a creation is actually not a creation but a revelation. You remember last year in the chapter on Genesis, Mrs. Eddy will bring out that she asked them the question, is this really a revelation, this 7 days of creation? Sorry, is this really a creation, those 7 days of creation? Or is it not much more a revelation instead of a creation? And that also shows what the Revelator wants to bring out, that we can always look at a certain stage in the development of the spiritual idea, not only from the point of view of creation, of a developing idea, but always also see that every stage is actually a stage of isness, of the nowness, of being. We had last year with creation those two concepts. We could see that we could look at the 7 days of creation either as a creative activity or as a isness, as a becoming or as a being. And those two must always go together, because we must see that what happens in the periods of time, in the development of the idea, out of those crude symbols of the first thousand, second thousand year, up to a more abstract and sophisticated symbolism of our time and finer consciousness of our time, which can think in abstract ideas, that though this seems to be a civilization process, a developing process, that actually these qualities that appear from period to period have existed since time immemorial, that they are actually states of being and not of becoming. And this we will see over and over in Revelation, that no matter what the Revelator is showing, what is going to happen and to happen and to happen, there will always in between a light shed on the story which says, but that existed since time immemorial. So that over and over, over 20 times in Revelation, we have that sense. We have that sense that he's going to show things which must shortly come to pass, because it says the time is at hand, because we have a sense of isness all the time, all is there. It's only a matter that we see what we should see as the next point, that the revelation should take away the shadow and the cloud from our consciousness and show us that what is coming to pass is something that always has been. And this is an important point, because it shows us that we actually do not have to wait 1,000 years for a new idea to come into focus, that like Jesus, that he said, I'm fulfilling the law, and he demonstrated in his personal life the 5th, the 6th, and the 7,000 year period. He demonstrated life, truth, and love right at his time, well knowing that the becoming sense of the days will take another 3,000 year to manifest itself universally. So all the time we can hear in Revelation that sense, that all these revelations, that all these new visions come from him who was and is and ever shall be, or is to come. Constantly that rendering comes, which says, whatever is revealed to you now, to you it is new, for you, you have to make a change, you have to direct your consciousness differently, but fundamentally it has always been and has always existed. It comes from a source that is, that was, and ever will be. So it will be always, forever and ever. That comes in about 11 times, that it, everything that he shows is forever and ever. So let's see that we are not thinking that we have first to wait 1,000 years, hundreds of years, for a new idea really to break through. It's right at hand. And we can see that if we open our consciousness to it, then it shows what he says at the end, that there should be time no longer. So that everything is right at our fingertips, and it's only a matter, do we accept it or don't we accept it? In that seeking process of the 1,000-year period, we have to notice something that in the Revelation seems to be of greatest importance. It's something that I was touching on at the end of last summer school on Genesis, right at the end, about the last quarter of an hour. I was presenting this subject rather quickly, so I want to take it up again and pinpoint it in relation to the chapter on the Apocalypse, or the Book of Revelation. We were considering last year, over a few hours at the end of Genesis, the 1,000-year periods. And I was showing you what Mrs. Eddy said, that consecutive Bible history is in consonance with the 7 days of creation, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and we are going through the 1,000-year period and began to see how the Bible would symbolize the 1,000-year period even in the subtones that we have in the days of creation. And then we also took that which came after Jesus, namely the 6,000-year, the 5th and 6,000-year period in modern history, and there again I showed you that even in the 5,000-year period and the 6,000-year period, which is not depicted in the Bible, that even there we can read from history, from the Western civilization and its history, not from the Eastern, from the Western, we can read the demonstration of the 5th and 6,000-year period in all their subtones. Life as mind, life as spirit, life as soul, life as principle. Then truth as mind, truth as spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, up to where we are now, at the point of truth and love, right at the beginning of the 7,000 period of love. I was showing that in detail, so I don't need to show it again. But then, as I said, in the last quarter of an hour, I was taking up the subject that has so long been forgotten, even among the Dawley students, that Mr. Dawley at one time was taking those 1,000-year periods, I must say in a very short way, was taking those 1,000-year periods in order to show how with every 1,000-year period really the symbolism changed, how the symbolism that would symbolize reality would have with every 1,000-year period a more refined aspect. Therefore, that it would be also our job really to see that we are not staying behind within our consciousness and trying, say, to solve the problems of today with the method of yesterday. This is a very well-known symptom that in every way of life, in business, in politics, in the general atmosphere, people like to stay with the old and try to solve the new problems with the old method, and then it never works. We always see that as we go on in a business, in politics, in a nation, whatever it is, there is a development going on. We can't stay there where we were when the nation was founded. It must go on, and we must see that the new problems that we are facing must have also a new method for solution and not the old method. Now, this is especially true in religion, that we are formed and molded usually right from childhood with a certain kind of a religious sense and a religious approach and a religious idealism. And then we go through life, and life changes very much, but we still try to solve then these new problems that arise with the old Sunday school concept of religion. And it doesn't work. So Mr. Dawley brought up that big subject, that he said, what we are seeking is reality. That reality is purely spiritual. The spiritual cannot be taught as spiritual. The spiritual can only be taught through symbols, so that the human mind somehow can acquaint itself with realities. So Mrs. Eddy had to use language. The Bible had to use language. But that language changed from time to time, according to the age in which the people lived. So what is the change that occurred in that relationship between reality on one side, that is always the same, reality is always the same, but how is it symbolized so that we see with every age, with every thousand-year period, the symbolization was getting nearer and nearer to what we really want to understand, namely reality. So there must therefore be once a point where we lose all symbols and we have got hold of reality. You know that song, as we rise, the symbols disappear. Now, through the thousand-year period, we were rising. The whole development was rising, was refining. And so the question that we can ask, how was reality that was always the same reality? How was reality symbolized as the idea went on and civilization went on and became more more abstract and more definite, more scientific? So he gave a short picture of that, which I want to repeat quickly. We did it last year. In the first thousand-year period, in the period of mind, where they had to bring out that God is a creator, and that he alone is the creator, how on earth could they symbolize that at that time, 4000 BC? And so the only thing they had, so to say, in order to symbolize it, was those old creation myths that existed practically in every culture, all over the world. So also the Jews have taken the various creation myths and have taken them in order to symbolize the law of creativity. They have polished those creation myths until they finally had a rather monotheistic creator in the days of creation. Then came the second thousand-year period, where they could see a new period, that of spirit is coming into focus, that spirit of the firmament. How on earth are we going to show that spirit that separates good from evil, that is a firmament between good and evil, so as to bring out the onlyness of spirit? How are we going to symbolize that? So they took all the old legends and sagas that they knew about the flood story. The flood story was a story that you had in practically every culture all around the world. No matter where you go, you go into the Pacific Ocean, to those little islands, and you listen about the sagas, they will tell you the flood story in one way or the other. And it may be that perhaps round about 10,000 BC there was perhaps that terrific flood, perhaps that Atlantis was sunk, and that gave perhaps a terrific shock wave all over the world. All over the world you had those floods, and that always gives rise to new legends and things like that, or sagas like Noah and his ark and things like that. So the Israelites too, in order to bring out the purity of that second day, they were taking those symbols of myths and sagas and I don't know what, perhaps even legends and so on, to illustrate that second thousand-year period. Well, you have the third thousand-year period where suddenly the Bible changes the symbolism completely. From that point on, with Abraham going out of the land of Ur, we have only tribal history. Everything turns around tribal history, about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then the sons of Jacob, then Moses, then the people of Israel, until finally they come into the promised land, which is the end of the 3,000-year period, and then the symbolism changes again. So what was the symbolism of the 3,000-year period? It was showing that really the grass brought forth all kinds of fruits. They were showing that the idea of God as soul could be taken by the individual or by a tribe and could be demonstrated individually by the tribe and mostly by the tribe. So that they saw or believed that really God lives with men, and that the whole reality can be symbolized by showing how God, the universal divine idea, can be demonstrated and brought forth in an individual life, in an individual tribe. So we have that whole tribal history, and that became the most important thing. They were no more interested in anything else, but can the tribe be saved? Can my family be saved? And all the rest was of no great interest to them. Until the 4,000-year period arrived, with the first prophet, Samuel, and Samuel with the kings, and then came after the kingly period again, the prophetic period, and that really marked the period of that time. The prophetic idea. And there again, the symbolism changed completely. The symbolism was that they began to realize that what happens in this world happens because there is a spiritual idea at work, an unknown, unseen spiritual idea at work. And therefore their whole attention was given, can I see the spiritual idea at work? No more so much to see, well, what has the individual tribe done, how could they use the ideas, but much more the way that they were showing that if we want to see the reality of something, we have to find the idea behind the objective world. It is the same thing as we have in Christian Science, that in Christian Science so often you have a problem, whatever that problem is, what you first ask is, now, what is the idea behind it that would rule so that the problem would be solved? It's asking about the nature of the spiritual idea, the revelation of the idea. And the prophets were foretelling, really, that there is an idea, and that idea really would rule all in Israel.